Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors defeated the Los Angeles Lakers by a score of 107-92. I've brought on the slander god, Assad, to help me recap this game. But before we get to that, I gotta tell you, look, I know what you're thinking right now. Ever since basketball came back, you can't get buckets out of your head. And we're not just talking about basketball buckets. We're not talking about the Kyle Lowry buckets. We're talking about the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. You watch them, you crave them. That's how it works. I get it. It happens to me all the time. One minute I'm talking about buckets. One minute I'm talking about Kyle Lowry scoring 33 points and defeating, LeBron and AD. And the next minute I'm daydreaming about the $10 mighty bucket for two. How could you get your mind off four pieces of chicken, two original recipe tenders, two individual fries, two dips, and of course a popcorn chicken? Wow, that's basically a Kyle Lowry stat line. But don't worry, it's normal. It even happens to most NBA players during actual games. It just means you're hungry. So order your bucket online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. All right, Assad, take me through what happened tonight, man. Because, a lot of people have been talking about, this Laker team. LeBron shut down Kawhi and Paul George. Kawhi looking mad pressed. And none of that happened tonight. I mean, OG Anunoby, Kawhi's successor, seemed to have a pretty easy time with LeBron today.
Well, in the spirit of KFC, shout out to Kyle Kuzma. Coming out there with his chicken legs, looking good.
Oh man!
For Kyle Lowry, just ripping him a new one. Straight up Kyle on Kyle crime. Shout out, nope name. I just want to start off by saying Kyle Kuzma went to college for 4 years, and then he got a master's degree in 48 minutes from Kyle Lowry.
Oh man!
Just ripping him all up and down the floor. Going back to LeBron, like that defense. What Ooh. A defensive stand from LeBron.
Wow.
In the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth, when it's really time to buckle down, it's LeBron time. Comes down, step back three, boom, another long three. Other side of the court, losing OG Anunoby, back door in the corner two or three times in a row.
Yeah, I don't know why LeBron decided to disrespect OG like that. First off, this was one of the best games of OG's, well, maybe not his career, I guess, but definitely one of his highlights this season. And he's had a lot of great games. But OG was hot from the start of the game. Like, he opened the game, with a spin move on AD going in for a layup. He was hitting his corner threes. Like, he literally only missed one shot all night. So I don't know why LeBron decided to disrespect OG in the fourth quarter, where LeBron, as you mentioned, hits those two big threes that you're like, okay, maybe the Lakers are going to do something. And then OG just responds to him. Like, OG's going shot for shot with LeBron. And, before we even get to most of the recap, I got to say, the slander pod should be reserved for, lopsided, unexpected wins. I'm thinking about, when the Raptors beat the Lakers in November with Chris Boucher, Terrence Davis, and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Matt Thomas getting a five-point play. All right, slander pod, definitely. But this one, I mean, this is just the better team beat the worst team. I mean, there's, better execution by the Raptors, offensively, defensively. And, it's, bro, like, when the Raptors beat the Indiana Pacers, I don't have you on talking about slander pod. So, I don't know.
Straight up.
Why are you
I'll
on?
I'll be honest. It does feel like punching down. But, unfortunately, it's been 4 months off, so I kind of need a preseason as well.
Okay.
So, you gotta beat up on some people who may not deserve slander. Mm. The Lakers kind of slandered themselves just by the effort they gave on the court. bro, I'm just saying, when you put in Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith for major minutes,
bro,
what are you hoping for?
Oh, man. And I got to say, Deion played well for the Lakers tonight, man. Probably, I would say Deion today more of a lethal offensive threat than Anthony Davis. I'm not even kidding. Deion Waiters made some great plays. AD hit a three, got a whole bunch of free throws in the third quarter. But AD was nowhere to be found. This man literally had almost a Joel Embiid. He had half an Embiid, all right? He had only 1 point in the entire first half, and it was a technical free throw. off of BS, I think technical given to Pascal, and he hit that. So I guess he wasn't fully Embiid. But yeah, I mean, AD completely shut down. LeBron, you look at his stat line, 20 points in 35 minutes, minus 20. You know, it's just...
You know, it's a bad game when LeBron's in the post game, just like listing off every name on the Raptors roster.
He's like, man, you got to watch out for Paul Watson.
They got some dogs on that team. Oh, but no, man. Like, it's not really fair when the Raptors have the better number 3 and number 23 on the court.
Yeah, that's true, actually. So, wow. Damn. No, this feels great, man. This feels great. First off, it feels great to just have, like, basketball back, period. I think the Raptors, you know, we waited a very long time for this to come back officially. And I think, actually, the league's actually done a pretty good job in terms of just balancing the responsibilities. I think, you know, the Raptors in particular have sort of made social justice like front and center. And I thought, actually, at the start of this game, even all slander and all jokes aside, to have that moment where all of them are kneeling together, you know, while both the Star Spangled Banner and O Canada played, I thought that was just really, you know, watching that was really powerful, and it kind of set the tone. But I think also is just, this is what the Raptors do, man. They're just like a great responsible organization. You know what I mean? Like, they, I don't know, man. This is. I guess it was just kind of to be expected, and they handled it with class. They handled it with grace, and I thought that kind of set the tone, just basically to start the game. I know that has nothing to do actually with the game itself, but what did you think of just like, you know, the start of the game, and sort of what the Raptors have done to sort of put Black Lives Matter and other social causes on the floor for just the front burner here?
Yeah, I think, like, especially on the Canadian presentation, like, I watched the Sportsnet beginning with the intro with Socrates and stuff, which, you know, part of it, I think it was a heavy video. Mm-hmm. There was some graphic moments to it.
Yes.
So it may not be, you know, so it is not the easiest thing to watch, mm-hmm. but it's an important thing, I think, in the sense that, like, when you look at the Canadian sports landscape, a lot of people that are watching in Canada, they may not have exposure to this, you know, even in today where everything's global, they may not have exposure to this. So this might be the first time they're seeing something that graphic or something. So it is definitely something to see that the Raptors are making a very active effort to, at the minimum, like, have like players' voices heard and Black Lives Matter be heard and be out there front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that is, you know, important, because that's kind of the reason why these players are on board with coming back.
Yep.
So the fact that we've seen that more or less synced up, where they've kind of put some actions behind their words, has been good to see. And then, yeah, like, in terms of the game presentation to start, it's a stark moment for you. Like, you have to think about it. Like, I personally mute the anthems when they're on, even though I'll watch the visuals. I mute the anthems personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I know just from seeing reactions from people, it's like, it's constantly, for every single game so far in the bubble, that has been a moment where everybody has to stop and think.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what you want to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whichever way it goes. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, definitely. I thought it was really well handled. I thought, you know, again, the fact that they didn't stand up or Old Canada or anything like that, I think it was also important there too. I think it's really important to look at the issue of racism sort of outside of the United States as well. Even though so much of the focus globally is on the United States, and especially with the NBA obviously being primarily American, but a lot of these same systemic issues affect Canada as well. Okay, so as for the game itself, I mean, where do we start? Okay, so first off, the Raptors just played incredible defense, right? Like, if you look at this game, the Lakers only scoring 92 points, shooting 35% from the field, 25% from three. You know, it starts with the defense. As I mentioned earlier, Anthony Davis, you know, with only 1 point in the first half, he got it going in the second half a little bit, but not really. And, you know, defensively, the Raptors, honestly, this looked exactly like the same scheme the Raptors did in November, where
the Lakers did not score a point for 5 minutes to start the game.
Yeah, let's start there, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Just start there. They, like, the Raptors came out and they're just like, all right, AD, we're not even letting you get a shot attempt off. Like, just mm-hmm. getting hounded. Every single drive, the Raptors are getting a hand on the ball. They're defensive rebounding, and they were contesting all these threes. They weren't giving up any open threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was it was legitimately getting a little worrisome where it was like, yo, when are the Lakers going to actually score a bucket? Because look at the score. Like, it's been 5 whole minutes. It's 13-0. Like,
yep. Yep.
Is somebody going to score a point? Like,
yeah. I think their first basket was by Deion Waiters. Maybe?
Oh, who knows, man.
I can't remember, man.
Yeah, it was a layup or something, but
good yeah. God. I mean, you know, again, like the defensive strategy there is pretty straightforward. I think the Raptors, you know, correctly identify the fact that the Lakers usually don't put a lot of great shooters on the floor. You know, KCP, 1-for-4 today. Danny Green, man, I don't want to slander Danny Green whatsoever because, you know, he was such a great Raptor, but 0-for-7.
Danny Green has not scored a point against the Raptors yet this season.
In like, two games.
He loves us so much
Yo.
That he has made sure that he has allowed no points against the Raptors this season. Mm-hmm. Like, defensive player of the year caliber.
Yo, effort. The loyalty that Danny is showing is unbelievable. He's actually a double agent going to the Lakers and just getting their hopes up. Yeah, I mean, 0-for-7 for Danny, 0-for-6 from the three-point line, 0-for-2 from free throw. Like, bro.
I understand that he didn't want to receive his ring in the bubble, which makes total sense. Mm. But I also appreciate that he made sure that we remembered his performance in the finals.
Yo, come on, man. That's too far, man. Come on, that's too far, all right?
Look, I'm kidding.
We love you, Danny, all right? Whatever happened to you getting your signed basketball for Danny Green, okay? Where's that energy, okay? We love you, Danny. Yeah, Danny was treating like Harrison tonight. So, it was just a tough game for the Raptors in terms of for the Lakers in terms of their shooters. Like the Raptors did such a good job of double teaming AD and LeBron. I mean double teaming. I mean like hard double teams. Like AD catches the ball in the post with his back with like a good matchup. Like let's say it's like Pascal guarding him or even like Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka, and still a double team comes over. And the same thing kind of with LeBron to a lesser degree. Now, LeBron obviously operates more on the perimeter, so you're not outright double-teaming him by the three-point line. But, like, as soon as he got into the paint, a second defender, a third defender at the basket. And, you know, the Raptors' rotations were really crisp. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this looked like a mid-season game for the Raptors in the sense that their timing, the rotation, their communication was really strong so that when the Lakers did get the ball out to the perimeter and they cycled the ball, Raptors were able to rotate and just close out. And so even though the Lakers shoot 10 of 40 and LeBron could say, oh man, it's a make or miss league, like he's Dwayne Casey or something, you know, it's not a make or miss league, Doug. Like the Raptors really contested really well. They got out to a lot of those shooters. And honestly, when you have guys like, again, KCP, I don't really consider him a great shooter. You know, obviously Danny's a good shooter, but like, you know, let's just overlook 0-for-6, but yeah, like a Markieff Morris 0-for-5, like that'll happen. Markieff's not a good shooter, man. So
and like it's yeah. not even. And I know that our buddy Brad at Too Much Hoops is gonna have a field day with this game.
Oh yeah,
because like one of the things to watch is like every time LeBron or AD were trying to operate out of the post, you would see doubles coming from the help defense. The help with the doubles was coming from either it would be the baseline sometimes, or it's coming from the middle, mm-hmm. or it's coming from the blind side, and then you would see how they'd be zoning up the weak side. The Raptors like have so much length with their wings that when they zone up the weak side, when that double goes there, like they take away both those passes. You see LeBron constantly in two minds in terms of which pass is open. Mm-hmm. AD was having tons of trouble across the board trying to read who was open yeah. out of the post when he was getting doubled. And then like even when the passes were getting out to those shooters, the Raptors' recovery was so crisp, especially in that first half, mm-hmm. that like you saw shooters, they're passing up open shots because it takes only a second for them to lose that like little bit of space that they have. It was just a masterpiece. And to credit the Lakers, to be honest, the Lakers also were really strong defensively.
Yeah, like, definitely.
They have a lot of length and a lot of bigs they put up there, but Alex Caruso at the point of attack today, like he had Fred VanVleet like yep. step for step.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, again, just going back to the defense, like if you look at just, okay, you're double teaming LeBron. LeBron's like one of the best passers in the game, if not the best passer in the game. But today, LeBron, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. This is despite the fact that the Raptors constantly are sending double teams at him or double teaming AD or stuff like that. You would expect LeBron to be able to, you know, pass through these things. And again, I'm not saying LeBron can't handle a double team. Obviously, he can. But the Raptors, it just goes to show how effective the Raptors' defense was. The fact that, you know, LeBron wasn't able to be efficient with it. And then, you know, as you mentioned, yeah, defensively, the Lakers are also really good. Like, you know, obviously they have a lot of great length. AD, you know, defensively is good. LeBron, you know, had a couple, you know, had a chase down block at one point. Danny Green had a two blocks, one on, I think, Fred and one on Kyle. So yeah, I mean, the Lakers are strong defensively. We know this, right? Like, this is one of the reasons why, you know, they have one of the best records in the NBA is they play defense. But also, like, one of the weaknesses in their defense is they don't have a guy to guard point guards right now. Like, Danny Green or KCP, those guys aren't guarding point guards effectively. Normally, I guess it would be Avery Bradley, but, you know, he's, you know, even a little suspect, or even Rajon Rondo. Kyle Lowry today, they had nobody to guard Kyle. And, of course, LeBron didn't do it because, you know, he wasn't willing to be on a highlight. But, yeah.
Hey, Will, relax. Wait. Kyle Lowry plays guards, right?
Uh-huh.
I swear at one point Paul Jones said on the broadcast that Anthony Davis can stick with guards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Kyle blew right by AD for a reverse layup directly after he said that.
Bro.
But, you know, AD can guard Kyle.
Mm.
So why not? And I've heard Kyle Kuzma, he's been like the best player on the Lakers.
I mean, he looked like it today. They did not lie, okay? He was nice with it. He was nice today. But
Kyle Kuzma looked amazing, shooting 5 of 13 from the floor, 3 of 7 from 3, hitting some tough ones, and then just getting destroyed by Kyle Lowry for the last 12 minutes of the game.
I'm just saying, like, who on the Lakers is Kyle Lowry's caliber to go at Kuzma in practice? Like, it's not like Quinn Cook's about to put 12 points on Kyle Kuzma, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Kyle Lowry tonight, man. 33 points, 8 of 16 shooting, 5 of 9 from 3, 12 of 15 from the free throw line. He was really just carrying them early on.
And he had, like two charges, too, right?
Took two charges, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. Like
14 rebounds! The man is 5'10".
And the Lakers play, like, 3 7-footers. Like, yeah, I mean, what more can you really say about Kyle at this point? Like, this is just a vintage Kyle Lowry performance. I think he really just... I mean, we saw in the scrimmages, like, Kyle was by far the Raptors' best player. He was super sharp. He was ready to go. He was, again, like, he's just the best player in the scrimmages. And today, like, with the Raptors' offense sort of stuck in the mud a little bit, you know, just not getting great shots or not getting, you know, clean shots, like, Kyle was just carrying them with his sort of intensity early on, like, opportunistic, getting out in transition. A few times after he got in transition, Kyle was usually one of those guys. You know, Kyle, you know, creating and driving into guys like Howard or Kuzma or Morris or whoever, getting to the free throw line, you know, 15 times. And then in the fourth quarter, it was just nuts, man. The guy had 10 points in the fourth quarter after checking around the 8-minute mark. That's only time in the game I got a little nervous was the Lakers took a 1-point lead with 8 minutes left. And I'm like, can we get Kyle and Pascal back in the game? Nick Nurse must have read my mind because he immediately put those guys in the game. And then all of a sudden, it was a wrap. Like, Raptors just blew them out. Kyle with 10 points in those 8 minutes. And he had 2 assists that led to a Siakam and one, and then a Fred VanVleet three. So, you know, pretty good.
And, like, you know that, like, when you talk about, like, defense, like, Kyle Lowry was absolutely incendiary. Kyle Lowry had more points in the second half than any Laker had all game.
Wow.
Kyle had 22 points in the second half.
Damn.
No Laker scored more than 20.
Yeah. And again, so many of those came in crunch time. And that's the thing with Kyle Lowry. Because, you know, I'm listening to a lot of podcasts right now. Obviously, everyone's talking about All-NBA because all the votes had to go in. And everyone's like, ah, Chris Paul, man, a lock for second team. A lock for second team. Chris Paul, what he did with the Thunder? I mean, the crunch time, what he did. And I'm not saying Chris Paul didn't do a lot of great things for the Thunder this year or a lot of great things in crunch time with the Thunder this year. He was great. But, I mean, honestly, if you stack up Kyle's resume with Chris Paul's this year, I would say, I don't know, man. Kyle is right up there.
It's funky because, like, Chris Paul, like, his like these, like, all these other guys, their stat profiles, like, come out a little bit better.
But not even, not even, not even with Chris Paul. Chris Paul averaged like 16 this year.
Yeah. The thing with Kyle is, like, what Kyle brings to the game, and you see it so much more in the bubble because now you don't have all that fan noise, or at least they try to get rid of all the fan noise. They pump some in. But, like, you just see the intensity with which Kyle plays and just every single little advantage he's creating out there. Like, him yelling at the refs, like, he's the loudest guy on the court.
Oh, definitely.
Which is, like, by a mile. And, like, maybe in, like, when it's an arena game where you have, like, a bunch of fans in the building, like, the sound dissipates, right? So you don't really notice it. But if you've ever been in, like, a pickup gym, you always know, like, the type of guys that are like Kyle Lowry. It's a small guy on the floor who's running around everywhere, scrappy as hell, and is the loudest dude in the gym.
Yeah.
And it gets to you. When you're playing one of those games and that guy hits a couple shots and is just yelling in your face constantly, once they start rolling, like, you can feel it. Like, it's palpable. So, like, to be able to have that guy on your team who's going to be the loudest in the gym is just, like, it just increases the intensity in the game at a possession by possession level. And like every little thing Kyle does, like the Raptors often start stalling out. He just starts drawing fouls left and right. It's like, and then if it's not the fouls, it's these cheeky little pushes that he does with his offhand while driving. And he got Kuzma with him so much. Kuzma's got high hips. He doesn't bend his knees on defense. Kyle pushes right into him, puts a hand on his hip, opens up a passing lane for a bounce pass to Serge for a dunk. Just like fantastic all the way around from Kyle. It's just like, it's honestly such a joy to watch. And like just looking at like plus minuses for the game.
Oh,
and
I don't really read too much. You can read into this game.
This is like the Raptors starters, OG plus 27, Pascal plus 27, Mark plus 18, Fred plus 26, Kyle plus 24, versus like on the Lakers side, you've got like you'd think, oh, every time LeBron sat, they probably suck. LeBron's a negative 20 for the game. KCP's a negative 27 for a game. AD's a negative 17 for a game. So like legitimately ripped up their starters head to head.
Yeah, it's you know, it's reassuring too, because again, we haven't seen much of the starters, actually the starting five, play together this year, just because due to injuries, but also because you know, in the scrimmages we didn't even see them play together that much. So I was a little curious as to why, you know, Nick didn't put those guys together, but it's just like, you got to make a competitor for another team, man. That starting five, it just, it works so well, like offensively, you know, the fluidity, especially in crunch time, you know, even though that was a lot of that was with Serge, like, you know, that worked really well too. Yeah, Kyle really set the tone. I mean, bro, first game, the first play he comes in the fourth quarter, you know, the Raptors get him off a screen. He's fading to the left corner and he hits a three. And then he's right in front of the Lakers bench and then he just stares right at LeBron. So I'm like,
One of my favorite moments of the game was, it was late in the fourth quarter. It was actually, it was a blocking call. It was a blocking foul on Kyle on one of the LeBron drives. And they both fell down hard. And Kyle goes to pick LeBron up, and LeBron like gives him like a pat, like a small pat on the back of the head, and like they had like a head nod exchange with each other. I'm just like, damn, like how far have we come from 2016?
Oh man,
where LeBron just like openly disrespecting every player on our team to like him now treating Kyle Lowry as like a contemporary in that moment.
Wow, that's disrespectful. Which,
honestly,
bro.
Disrespectful because Kyle was clearly the better player.
I was gonna say, man, come on, you can't be comparing Kyle Lowry's 33-14-6 to LeBron's 20-10-5 with four turnovers and minus 20. Like, come on, bro, this is. That's not the same.
There's stars and then there's superstars. Yeah. You know, like it's a different atmosphere. You know, when the lights are shining the brightest, the superstars come out
For sure.
Close out games.
Now we also have to talk about OG as well, because 23 points from OG, 8 of 9 shooting, 3 of 3 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Very underrated. OG had shot like what, roughly 60% on the free throw line this year. He's had some just awkward moments, I would say, but today 4 of 4 looked a lot smoother. Just
free throw looked amazing.
I know, like, we're gassing up about a free throw when he had a great game, but he had some great free throws, bro.
We're talking about a guy whose true shooting percentage was lower than his actual, like, his effective field goal percentage because he shot a free throw at, like, 55%. Like, OG was going to put it, at one point, was putting out the first 50-40-50 season of, like...
yeah.
Like it was that bad at one point.
It was. So it actually, you know, he had two free throws in the fourth quarter in sort of a semi-important moment. Raptors obviously wanted to stretch the lead. OG cashed both of those. I mean, the free throws look good, but of course, I mean, this was just an excellent game from OG, right? And you
all
know,
around.
Both ways, obviously defending LeBron. I mean, you know, LeBron's going to get his points and stuff like that. He's going to get his whatever. He's going to hit two step back threes. Cool, right? But... the only time I saw LeBron get an easy bucket was he drove by OG, and there was no help at the rim, and LeBron got in for a layup. That's the only easy basket he got. Everything else, it was difficult. It was tough. He had, like, LeBron had
OG
to, like...
OG stonewalled him in the post twice in the fourth quarter.
Yes,
well, where LeBron just had to pass out, and then one time he didn't pass out, it was a miss. And, like, they were both in the circle. Like, LeBron pushed and pushed and pushed. They got in the circle. And then clean contest, LeBron couldn't finish on that. Like, that is just pure strength.
Yep. Yeah, and first off, you know, the strength is, like, LeBron's biggest asset at this point, right? Because he's not really explosive unless he gets ahead of steam, I feel like. If he's coming from the post, he doesn't have that, like, okay, I'm in the post, I'm going to suddenly jump up and dunk. Like, that's like a young LeBron thing. That's like a Zion thing. Like, LeBron is going to muscle you, get to the spot, and then, you know, put up a shot because he's that strong. But for the fact that OG is able to match up in strength, and of course in length too, like OG 6'8 with, like, you know, 7 3 wingspan. Like, it's the same as LeBron. So it was actually hard for LeBron to get a couple of shots off. Like, it wasn't even a fluky game or anything like that. Like, he just played fantastic defense on LeBron. And then, of course, a lot of help as well, right? Raptors have great help defense, especially with Marc Gasol helping over the rim, stuff like that. But yeah, OG just was phenomenal in that. But even offensively, man, like, he got AD twice with the spin move. Like, just like, yo, listen, I know, like, all NBA ballots are already cast, all the award ballots are already cast, but if I'm looking at Defensive Player of the Year, like AD, who's a strong favorite, I would say, to get it, and then I'm watching OG Anunoby hit him with 2 spin moves, like OG's passing out or something, I might have to reconsider. Like, maybe it is Rudy Gobert, you know?
And you want to talk about, like, his improved handle?
Yep.
And I know that, like, literally 4 days ago, I was on, the Raptors Over Everything podcast talking about OG could be an all-star in, like, 2 years. I legitimately think OG might be an all-star next year, potentially, because his handle has improved so much. He, like, even though it didn't lead to any buckets, he attacked LeBron with a live dribble.
Yes, yes.
Like, 2 times in a row. Took him all the way into the paint, and then LeBron stuck with him. LeBron played great defense, moving his feet. But, like, even, like, 5 months ago, maybe 6 months ago, that's a steal. Mm-hmm. Like, OG's not getting those dribbles off.
Yep.
And, like, that's incredible to see, just that, the growth. And I honestly, like, with LeBron, I do think, like, you know, a bit of it slowing down. He has been great on defense. He was great on defense against the Clippers the other night, too. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to, like, playing LeBron now, it's not 2018 anymore. Mm. You know, like, back then, you had Hair Club for Men LeBron with, like, the actual lineup.
Yo, come on,
now, man. Now you got drop top LeBron in LA. Like, he's not doing anything to you, man. Like, it's an old man, right?
Yeah. But you know what, though? I do think not being afraid of LeBron is, like, a big step for a lot of players. You know, like, there's a play today, for example, Norm Powell, you know, got by his man on a spin move, got to the rim, was a layup. LeBron kind of just jumped within the vicinity, and Norm was like, oh, shit. And then he, like, missed the layup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And honestly, like, OG has never shown any fear to LeBron. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. LeBron hit that great running banker game winner. Cool. Fantastic. OG did not back down at all in that whole entire playoff series. And that was when he was a rookie. And so I loved his mentality there. I don't think OG's ever really shown fear to anybody.
OG actively going shot for shot with LeBron this game.
Yo.
Was fantastic. Like, it was like LeBron makes a bucket on OG.
Mm.
There's an active decision on the other end to get OG the ball to get him back.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like, I didn't even realize. Holy shit, Fred had 11 assists. When did that happen?
Well, you know, they were trying to use Kyle as a scorer a lot. But also, Fred had a decent game just setting up the other guys. Dude, not with the bench, because that did not work.
I'm talking about OG, but, like, I just looked at Fred's line, and, like, he actually turned out to have a pretty damn good line.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with Fred, too. Like, he can struggle a little bit to start, and I think he got blocked a couple times, you know, was looking a little slow, but he turned it around, man.
13, 5, and 11with a steal and a block, 45% shooting, 42%.
Yo, if you get blocked by Fred VanVleet, come on, man. If you get blocked by Fred VanVleet,
Outside of Danny Green not scoring a bucket, the fact that, like, Fred, OG, and Pascal were actively looking to sun him.
Oh, come on, man.
And Fred got him. Fred, like, just... Like, yo, imagine Fred VanVleet bully balling you to the rim and getting a layup over you in the paint.
I mean, you know, that's the thing, man. You know, earlier in the quarantine, one of the best pieces to come out was Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam revisiting the time that Danny Green demanded the ball in the post against JJ Redick and then proceeding to shoot an air ball. And I'm sorry, Danny, man. I really love Danny, man. Bro, he scored 0 in 2 games. Like, this is a double MB. This guy's, yo, come on, man. Anyway, this was kind of similar to that. Look, OG was fantastic. You got to give him his props. He also capped off the game with a dunk.
Which was about to be a travel from Fred. Like, Fred was about to travel that shit.
Well, you know, Fred wasn't going to hit a float or anything like that, man. Fred doesn't have that in-between game at the moment. Especially not with, like, LeBron closing in on him, but... Yeah, fantastic game by the starting lineup. Again, you know, even Pascal, I thought it was fine the way he played. You know, he wasn't efficient. I don't think he's going to be that efficient against the Lakers team. Like, he's not going to get to the rim, period. Like, you have AD guarding him one-on-one. You have LeBron or, like, you know, Dwight Howard, who actually was pretty good defensively. It's just tough for him to get to the rim. And so he's got to hit some jumpers. He had some makeable shots, whatever. I'm not going to critique him too much.
I think the big thing with Pascal is he has to be able to hit his threes, which he did today, and... He has to be able to play defense. The biggest thing with the Raptors' bigs against a team like the Lakers is being able to play defense, because like their guard should be able to handle most of the scoring. And they had pretty even scoring throughout the game. So it wasn't too bad. But like Pascal, he missed some makeable shots. But like if he ends up shooting like 40, 45, like really you want him to end up in the 40% range, hopefully.
Yeah.
Tonight he was a 5 of 17. Probably missed a couple chippies, but as a team, everybody was down. But the biggest thing was that he, on the other end, like he was switching between AD and LeBron all game.
Yep.
And both of them shot like garbage too. So.
Yep.
No, that's kind of what you hope.
I mean, that's the thing with Pascal is compared to other like superstars. Some superstars are not scoring; they're a liability to your team. Like Pascal, 2 steals, 2 blocks, +27. Like great energy throughout. Like I know this is whatever. He could obviously shoot better. He can score better, but. You know, there is a baseline to fall onto. The only thing I want to say that's like a little bit negative from this game was sort of just how the bench operated. Those transitional lineups, I mean, what am I saying transitional? The transition is no Kyle Lowry on the floor. Those transitional lineups were struggling to generate just coherent offense. And there's something similar where I talked about it from the scrimmages where it just looked like when Norm was asked to lead the bench, he was really forcing it, really pressing it, not really getting great shots overall. And, you know, whatever. There's a couple of layups he left short on the rim, you know, that I guess, you know, you can just say it's a fluke. But Norm wasn't getting great shots. Serge wasn't in the rhythm at all. He was also getting the foul trouble. And basically, the Raptors got nothing from the bench. Yo, the Lakers bench, who have guys like Kyle Kuzma, Deion Waiters, Alex Caruso, Markieff Morris, they outscored the Raptors bench 50-15. So, I don't know what's going on there. You know, it's a rotation like, issue. Like, what's the deal
here? I don't know if it's like I don't think one game is gonna say anything. Like, I know the scrimmages kind of showed a bit, but we were having weird minutes in scrimmages. I want to see something else. Like, I know, like if you guys were following me on Twitter at all, I was complaining about the humidity.
Yo, what's up with that, man? How'd you put 20 tweets together on sticky floors, man? What is this?
I hate sticky floors. Okay, like okay. In the summertime. The one gym I play in Milton, it's a really nice gym. It's well conditioned, but it gets so humid in that gym that like. The entire summer run is just dudes twisting ankles and like bricking shots because like the ball gets so sticky on you that like you just like and you can't like your feet are constantly sticking to the floor. So and I could tell like I don't know if it was actually humid, but just from like the stuff they were saying on the broadcast, the way the players weren't sliding on the court, like there were dudes stumbling constantly and it was like stagger step stumbles, like they weren't like they were falling to the ground and then sliding across the court. Like, you didn't see anybody slide. Like, even the hard falls, like, the reason the falls are so hard was because dudes weren't sliding on the court. They hit the ground and got stuck on the court.
Okay.
And I want to see how that plays out because I know they're in Orlando, which is already humid, and they're playing on courts, like, tonight. Like, this is the same court I think the OKC-Utah game was on earlier.
Word.
So I wonder if there might be, like, we might see this in, like, the later night games. Going forward with the bubble where you have this humidity build up in the arena and on the court where like after they've done the cleaning, like it just gets really sticky. Cause I think that was the issue like early on in the game, especially cause like everybody was having trouble just like dribbling or driving or doing any type of dribble move. And like, I thought that really affects Norm's game. Cause a lot of Norm's game is big strides and left, right. So like you could see he couldn't generate anything off the ground. And LeBron and AD, like anytime if you go back and watch the footage on the defense, anytime someone put their back to the basket, kind of pivoting in the at the free throw line area or off of one dribble, you'd see their foot get stuck. So I was and like you could the sneaker squeak sounded way louder on this game than any of the other games tonight. So that's why I was concerned about it because I was actually worried somebody was going to hurt themselves. And Rondé, you know, he tweaked his ankle. Which is him stepping on somebody, but I was legitimately worried about that. But we'll see how it goes. So I don't take anything out of this in terms of half-court offense. Also, the Lakers are a legitimately good defensive team.
Yeah, that's also a big factor.
For you to struggle against them is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I've always clowned on them, but, like, today, like, you saw, like, they have a lot of size out there.
I mean, even a guy like Kuzma, I mean, outside of the way he guarded Kyle Lowry in the fourth quarter, which is to say he didn't, you know, like he had some possessions where he was trying. You know what I mean? Like he put an effort, and you got to commend him for that. And he is big too. So this is just a big team, and the Lakers all around are just a huge team. So, you know, in terms of the three stars, okay. So first star, obviously Kyle Lowry, 33 points on 8 of 16 shooting, 5 of 9 from 3, 12 of 15 from the free throw line, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal. 2 charges drawn, +24 in 35 minutes, 10 points in the fourth quarter. Kyle Lowry over everything. You know, obviously that's the first star. I'm assuming you're giving second star to OG Anunoby. 23 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 8 of 9 from the field. 3-3 from the three-point line, 4-4 from the free throw line. Guarded LeBron really well. LeBron had a quiet night, in large part because of OG. Who is your third star from this game?
Ooh, third star. So it's not Danny Green.
That's the we might have to rename the Pat Patterson Award. No, I'm kidding. We don't. Who's your third star?
My third star for tonight. I guess I got to give it to Fred VanVleet.
Okay.
Surprisingly enough, I didn't think he had but he played some great defense today.
Mm-hmm, you did.
Honestly, I think the third star should actually just go to the Raptors defense. Their team defense. Because the way that they guarded inside was an absolute masterclass.
Yep.
Like, Mark, he's so skinny, I keep forgetting. Right. Mark, Serge, Fred, Kyle, Pascal, OG, they were everywhere on defense. Mm. Like, every rotation, every drive, they completely suffocated Anthony Davis. Again, Anthony Davis was 2-7 for the game.
Yeah.
This is a guy who dropped 34 against the Clippers.
Oh, come on. He was going against Pat Patterson, bro. What do you expect? Though the Clippers are really throwing Pat Patrick. I get it, man. Montrezl Harrell wasn't there. Whatever. There's someone named Jamichael Green, but like, come on, man. You're throwing a Pat Patterson and Zubat, a Pokemon, at him. So that's not going to work. It's not the same when you have Marc Gasol, Defensive Player of the Year, and other very, very like-minded players.
Yeah, just the way that everybody got their hands on the balls. Like, every single time it was down in the paint, It was just, it was beautiful to watch. Like, that first 5 minutes, honestly, I know I've shouted him out a lot, but Brad has a ton of work to do to get the defense clips for this game.
Listen,
it's going to be 30 minutes long. Because, like, I think he just has to leave the first 5 minutes to play. Like, just hit play on the first 5 minutes of the game and then start editing.
I think it might be a quick edit because I think Brad's just going to have to do the Reggie Miller. Did you watch that game where that Lakers Clipper game where Reggie Miller for all the color commentary just said after every basket? It was the most, especially because when you watch the highlight clips, it's only made baskets. So like, I'm not even kidding you, Reggie Miller might have moaned like 25 times. It was like 80 cut backdoor for a layup, and he's like and I'm like, yo, that's a simple play, man. What are you talking about? So.
You know, honestly, thank God that the media doesn't give a damn about the Raptors. Otherwise, we'd have, like, Reggie Miller calling our games instead of, like, Doris Burke and Mark Jones. Hopefully, we get Stan Van Gundy.
Oh, bro. Stan Van Gundy, Iron Eagle, that is the best one out there right now. That's the best one. Oh, my.
So good.
Yeah. Also, I wish Doris didn't have to work with Mark Jones. I feel like there could be a better combo there. Okay, let's – yeah, let's, so the three stars, I guess the third star – okay, Raptors defense, I agree. In terms of the Patrick Patterson Award, I'm just going to go ahead and give that to Dion Waiters. Dion, you know, I don't want to, like, I shouldn't be commenting on players, you know, physique. I feel like I've already learned that lesson. Dion, you know, a little bit, you know, doughy, I would say. You know, I can relate, I guess. But, like, yeah, Dion just didn't look fully in shape, but he was out there balling. Like, he made a couple baskets. So
Dion Waiters 100% looks like a dude at your local YMCA. And just starts giving you buckets at an NBA stage. Like, he has a YMCA body just going to work.
Definitely. Definitely. No, he has some baby fat still on him. But yeah, he you know, 12 points plus 8. Honestly, outplayed Norman Powell, which, I mean... it's hard to say. I mean, Norm would have been one of the best six man of the year candidates if he, you know, didn't start 23 games. In terms of the Pat Patterson Award, I mean, we got to give this to Danny. Unfortunately, man, Danny, the 0 points in two games is just a tough look. But we love you, Danny. You know, inside the green room continues to bang. Him and Harrison putting in great work. Great guests this year. Listen to a couple of them, definitely.
The part that really seals it, though, is. Like, he got 2 free throws in this game.
Yeah.
Like, man, that's rough.
That's, you know, that's the thing with the Lakers is I don't fully trust any other guys outside of AD and LeBron. And I'm supposed to trust Danny, but I also know better, you know?
Because the third best player on any night is either Danny Green, Kyle Kuzma, or Dwight Howard. Like,
yeah, and that's not a joke.
They legitimately need, like, LeBron and AD to go for 30 and 25 every single night for them to have a shot at winning.
Mm.
And you know what? Honestly, maybe, like, I know people were saying today might be a potential finals matchup, but this is probably the final matchup the Lakers and Raptors are going to have this season.
Wow.
Because, like, I don't think this team is going to make it to the finals. Like, I just don't see how they can do this for – because they're going to have seven-game series against, like, for at least two rounds of the Western Conference.
Mm.
Like, there is no way that they get out of the second round and the Western Conference Finals without going a long series. And then you're hoping for, like, four games where LeBron and AD go absolutely absurd at the same time.
And I mean, it's doable. Like, it could happen. It's totally doable, yeah.
Well, like, you're counting on, like, seven dudes who are just, like – like, really stretching it here.
Yeah.
Like, Alex Caruso is legitimately might be the third best player. And I'm not even, like, that's not even a joke. Alex Caruso, legitimately a good defender and makes some decent, makes good decisions on offense. But, like, you're talking about the talent gap. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Alex Caruso only exists on Bleacher Report, bro. I don't actually believe he's a real NBA player. No, I'm kidding. He's been decent, man. I thought he was decent in the G League Showcase in 2018. I love talking about the G League Showcase because... you know, that was basically the bubble, except the bubble was at the Paramount Fine Food Center. You know, shout out Mississauga one time. But yeah, okay, so that was for the podcast. Aside, thanks for coming on. To be honest, again, like, there wasn't that much slander because it was just a great win. But, you know, definitely very enjoyable. Asada had you on last time when the Raptors beat the Lakers. And of course, that one was definitely a lot of slander. I listened back to it recently and, you know, we were going wild on that one. But, this is just a great win. Again, the Raptors, you know, the better team, out-executed offensively and defensively against the inferior team. And, you know, that, it is what it is, you know. The Washed King, do you think LeBron's going to have some IG comments about Washed King today?
No, today is just going to be straight up just reading out the Raptors roster.
Right.
Talking about, well, you know, I watched that one game, Paul Watson Jr. from the Raptors 905. Yeah. Had that finishing move, so definitely someone to look out for. They're a real team on that side, you know. Make or miss league, though. Make or miss league, you know. Next time we'll get them.
Yeah, no, LeBron was, you know, LeBron's definitely out here watching Jesse Marmus coach the 905, bro. This guy is very intently focused on the Raptors and what he can do better here. Because
and also, just before we end, like, people are gonna be like, oh, Pascal didn't shoot well, whatever. Pascal went 5 of 17 from the floor, which is like definitely better than 2 of 18, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, look, listen, I you know, 2 of 18 is. What you definitely expect from a guy who a lot of people have on their second team all NBA teams.
Yeah, 2 of 18 is top 10 NBA player stats.
Definitely.
Man. That's superstar level stats right there.
Yeah. Listen, when you get outplayed by Chris Middleton, when Chris Middleton shoots 6 of 20, that's a second team all NBA player right there for sure. You know, just because he dropped Paul George one time in what I think was a loss. no, I'm kidding, man. I mean, look, you know, I've always been Team Pascal on this. Obviously, Tatum's made improvements, but you know, I still trust Pascal a little bit more because I don't think Tatum can get to the rim the way Pascal can. You know,
it is. I think, like, you saw it with that last drive. Like, Tatum can't do that. Where, you know, you get that screen driving straight down the middle, take the contact in midair, and then still finger roll it at the rim. Yeah. Like, that's absurd length that Pascal has that, like, you're just not gonna see.
Yeah.
So. Honestly, I love this team. I'm so happy they're back. Like, it was a complete joy to watch this game. I'm probably going to rewatch the highlights like 40 times.
Definitely.
Thankfully, there's a game every 2 days.
Yep.
So, can't wait to watch them again. Knowing that this is a slander pod, people are going to expect a loss against Miami. But I swear, this is the one. This is the one where we win after a slander pod.
All right. We're going to have to see because... Raptors have had their struggles against Miami. But no, this is great. Raptors up 4 games now on the second seed. Yeah, so a great win. Asad, thanks for coming on. Thanks to KSC for sponsoring the podcast. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back on Monday when the Raptors play the Heat.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.